How are you? Good to be back. Did you have a good Thanksgiving dinner, turkey dinner on Thursday? Did you have a good Black Friday shopping? My wife bought me a shirt here I'm wearing today. Yesterday, she bought it. And this tie, quite a few years ago, probably close to 10. My elder daughter, Sarah, she bought it for me. She bought it from a Christian bookstore, you know, with the cross, the fish, and Jesus. So after that, I promised to wear that tie, this tie, every time I preach. So these are just small things of Thanksgiving on my part. Turkey dinner, Black Friday, shopping, these are some of the more recent inventions, especially the shopping part. If we go back to history and trace the roots of Thanksgiving holiday, you all probably have read about the pilgrims that came to United States by the Mayflower, right, in 1621. When they landed in the middle of November in the now Plymouth, Massachusetts, they were actually coming to Hudson River, the port of Hudson River in New York City area. But for whatever reason, they landed in Plymouth. And in the first winter, 45 of those 102 sailors died in the first winter. And then by the second winter, only 53 were alive. So they celebrated what they call a harvest festival with the Indians the American Indians who helped them the previous winter to go through the year, and they had a bountiful harvest. But 2 years later, 1623, they had a more religious celebration, which is the beginning of Thanksgiving. But the first Thanksgiving did not really nationalize. Thanksgiving proclamation did not start until 1777, at the year after the founding of this nation. I'm going to read to you a Thanksgiving proclamation by the Continental Congress that time, 1777. You may notice a few interesting words that you don't regularly hear today. For as much as these days we use whereas, for as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, some of the big words there, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received, and to implore such further blessings as they stand in need of. So now you know some of the reasons for Thanksgiving. And it having pleased Him in His abundant mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war, you know, the war of independence, right? For the defense and establishment of our inalienable, and I'm having trouble with that word, rights and liberties, particularly in that He has been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops, and to crown our arms with most signal success. Very interesting vocabulary. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next. It's different. Those days, December, Thursday, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor, which is God, and that, together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they have forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ, mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please him graciously to afford his blessing on the governments of these states respectively, and prosper the public council of the whole, to inspire all commanders, both by land and sea, and all under them, with that wisdom and fortitude which may render them fit instruments, under the providence of Almighty God, to secure for these United States the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace, that it may please him to prosper the trade and manufactures of the people, and the labor of the husbandmen, farmers, and our land may yield its increase, to take schools and seminaries of education, so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety. Remember our school, your schooling? Really meant to cultivate principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under his nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consists in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Lastly, and it is further recommended that civil labor and such recreation as, though at other times innocent, may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment, be omitted on so solemn an occasion. Very interesting, right? So in Thanksgiving, you're not supposed to work, you should have Sabbath, and give thanks to the Lord. That's 1777. It is not until, I guess, 12 years later when George Washington took office, a few months after he took office, he said he had his first presidential proclamation. Proclamation number one, he said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God." That's his first proclamation, for those who are interested in history. And then fast forward, by the time of the Civil War, in 1863, President Lincoln had his proclamation of Thanksgiving. Since then, the Thanksgiving was set as the last Thursday of every November. That was 1863. But then, in last century, in 1830s, late 1930s, President Roosevelt decided it should be moved up to the fourth Thursday, because sometimes there may be a fifth Thursday near the end of the month, November. That shortens the shopping season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So he moved up a little bit, so let's fix it at the fourth Thursday. And then a few years later, in 1941, the Congress enacted the law to make it a national holiday, the fourth Thursday as the Thanksgiving national holiday. That's a little history of Thanksgiving, the historical. But we, you know, the secular society perverted the Thanksgiving a great deal. They made it a really shopping season. They made it this Thanksgiving the start of the shopping season. I guess in the past, Black Friday starts at about 6, 7 a.m., right? You know what this year it did? It started at midnight. Thursday, midnight, after Thanksgiving dinner, it's time to go shopping. And did you hear the story yesterday that in Long Island, in Walmart, a mob of shoppers, eager shoppers, trying to get that discount, they rushed in, trampled one of the workers there, trampled him to death, 34-year-old man, supposedly healthy, you know, robust and strong, but he was trampled to death by those eager shoppers. Walmart. What I'm going to do today is to put Thanksgiving into the right perspective, the biblical mandate of Thanksgiving, as we just read from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Actually, we need to read from 16, because I purposely omitted that, because the next two sermons is, as you can guess, it's probably about that. Be joyful always. That's number one. Second, pray continually. Number two. Third, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So today I'm going to talk about give thanks in all circumstances. which means every day, all year round, perennial thanksgiving. If we go back to the Bible, we see a lot of occasions recording, especially in the Old Testament, the tradition of giving thanks. The first family, now we have a first family elect, Obama, you know. But the real first family, Adam and Eve, their children, the two sons, Abel and Cain, you know, Abel and Cain, the brother, two brothers, they offer something to God, right? Remember in Genesis 4, even though God took delight in Abel's offering, but not so much Cain's, and that made Cain really jealous and angry, and he murdered his brother, Abel. And then we read from the story, the great flood, the story of Noah. And after the flood, Noah also built an altar and sacrificed a burnt offering to God in thanksgiving. And then as we read on, Abraham, he went to the land of Canaan, and then he settled there, settled down. The first thing he did is to build an altar and give thanks to the Lord. So the patriarch, the patriarchs in the Bible give us a good example of what thanksgiving looked like that time. And then by the time Moses led all the Israelites out of Egypt and he received all the laws and commandments from God, as we read from Leviticus, there are many different offerings. Two of the five main ones actually have something to do with thanksgiving. The first is grain offering, recorded in Leviticus chapter 2. Grain offering, it has to be fine flour, or it could be something made of fine flour, such as a bread, waffle, mixed with oil and then burned to produce that aroma pleasing to God in thanksgiving, thankful heart. And then in the next chapter, Leviticus chapter 3, talk about peace offering or fellowship offering. That's also out of thanksgiving to God, except it's not a flour, grain, you know, plant without yeast or honey. Here is herd animals, sheep or cow, you know, from the herd or flock, without defect, giving thanks to God and sacrifice a burnt offering there, And then in the Leviticus chapter 25, we read the year of Jubilee. Every seventh year is the Sabbath year. The land is supposed to rest. Don't cultivate it. Let it rest. Now in the scientific age, we know perfectly well why the land needs to rest. Needs to rest and preserve the fertilizer, preserve the nutrients there. Don't exhaust it year after year of plowing and planting. So, seventh year is the Sabbath year. The land rests. And then, 7 times 7, that's 49 Sabbath year later. The fifth one, the next one, the 50th year, is the year of Jubilee. That time is the time of liberty and freedom. If you were a slave, you can go back to your own household. If you lost property, you loaned, you had to sell your property to somebody else, 50 years later, you can get, not 50 years, get the next Jubilee, you can actually get it back. It's true freedom, the forgiveness of debts, and so forth. So those are the Old Testament biblical traditions of thanksgiving. But the whole Bible, I did a search, you know, left and right, used different words, gave thanks, thanksgiving, thanks. All those searching yield about 100 verses that talk about thanksgiving. So the Bible clearly is replete with teachings of thanksgiving. But then you ask, why bother giving thanks? Doesn't God know that we are very thankful for everything He gave us? Of course God knows. But it is our duty, human's duty, to give that thanks to God, because we breathe and we live owing to God's grace. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:4, he said, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. So we give thanks for the reason to acknowledge that we, everything we have, the being, the breathing we have, the life we have, it's all due to God's grace. And then we give thanks. Thanksgiving is also our obligatory gratitude due to God. We have to give thanks to God. If we don't, we're like someone who are very ungrateful. We are someone who is like a robber, taking things without even saying thank you. Thanksgiving also helps us to view everything in the proper perspective, the biblical perspective, because we live on the lease of debt from God. And also God is in ultimate control of everything, even the bad things. 911. The Indian version of 911 just these past few days. 60 hours siege of the financial city, Mumbai. Close to 200 people were murdered. Some 400 people were wounded by 10 young terrorists. Even in these bad things, do you think we can give thanksgiving? Or the people, at least those people who have survived the attack, I bet they have a lot of thanksgiving to give. What about those families? Do they have anything to give thanks for? What about the rabbi and his young wife? What about their families? What about the toddler son who escaped death? I bet they still have a lot of thanksgiving to give for their life, for their service. Thanksgiving is not just an earthly endeavor. Thanksgiving is also a heavenly reality. We read in Revelation, for example, chapter 7, verse 12, there we read about the angels, elders, and four living funky-looking creatures. This is what they were saying. They are saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then the 24 elders that surround the throne of God further said in Revelation 11:17, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign in the eternity ahead of us. So it is our human duty to give thanks. Some writer in China wrote recently that human is actually an existence of thanksgiving. That's a very refreshing view of our human nature. Human is actually an existence, an embodiment of thanksgiving. And then you ask, how do we give thanks? So thanksgiving is necessary. How do we give thanks? The Bible teaches very clearly we can do one of three things to give thanks to God. First, sing praises to Him. We just did before the service, in the beginning of the service. Psalm 7:17, it says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness. I will sing praises to the name of the Lord the Most High. In Psalms, the psalmist always used parallels, sentence of parallel meaning to express the same thing. Give thanks and sing praises. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. You see, give thanks and sing praises are together. And we just read also Psalm 100, right? Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Those are parallel verses. They talk about the same thing, praise and giving thanks. And further it says, give thanks to Him, bless His name. Can you imagine we, the Creator, can even bless God? I mean, God blesses us, right? With all His bounties. We read from the 1777 Continental Congress proclamation. God blesses us with all the bounties how can we bless God? We bless God, we bless His holy name by our lips saying praises from our heart. That's the first thing we can do. So instead of just giving thanks, saying praises on Sunday, I encourage you to do it more often, whether with your iPod, MP3 player, or in your car driving DVD player, sing along with it. And the most beautiful thing is, without all those modern invention gadgets, you can still sing a joyful noise to the Lord wherever you are. In the school bus, humming the way on the way to school, humming your way on the way to school. Those things you can do. Every day when I take my children to school, three different schools. I always pray with them in the latter half of the journey. So the journey may take quite a few minutes, but the latter half of the journey, we always pray. Every day, we pray for ourselves, we pray for other people, for the school, graduating seniors who are anxious about the college admission letter. That's the first thing you can do. Sing praises. Second, proclaim His deeds. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. Brother King just said, I think he said, right? Have you counted all your blessings? Or one of the brothers in the worship team, have you counted your blessings? When I counted my blessings, there are just so many. Friday night, I was giving a short sermon to my own fellowship group there. I counted a little bit about my life, how when I was a young boy, going to probably first or second grade, trapped in the snowstorm, you know, during my walk to school, I cried. Can you imagine a young boy, you know, with a big bulky school backpack, you know, carrying it on the shoulder, and then start stranded in this big snowstorm, and all of a sudden started howling, and people in the village heard it, heard my cry. One of them came to my rescue, carried me all the way to school. I was thankful for that. And then one time I was swimming, I was nearly drowned. I was unconscious. Someone, the same guy actually, he rescued me. He jumped into the pit and rescued me from that depth of water. I was unconscious for a little short while. So there are a lot of things you can be very thankful. And I'm also thankful for my own birth, because it's the most unlikely thing I would even have a chance to be born, if not for the fact that my father went to prison for some negligence of duty for 9 years. And during those 9 years, you know, his wife with the first daughter still, you know, not born, his wife decided to remarry, to leave him and remarry instead of waiting him for 9 long years. And then my mother, her husband died of some incurable sickness, so she was left with 3 young daughters. And after about a few years later, when my father went out of prison, he married my mom, and that gave birth to me and my younger brother. Hey, so when I look back in life, I know fully well somebody else's difficulties, somebody else's misfortune can actually turn into a blessing and good fortune to someone else, in this case me and my brother. So now you and she's saying amen to what I just said. you know now you've probably more fully understand why we give thanks in everything, even the things of the unfortunate, even the things that is not good to ordinary eyes. So we proclaim his deeds. There are many other verses I won't quote here. There's a third thing you can do to give thanks, which is to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 50 verse 14 says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Remember we just read from Philippians 4:6, in everything, you know, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God. So now you had a request, right? What happens when God fulfills that request for you? You need to give thanks again and fulfill your what? Your vows, your duty. You probably said, God, if you give me these, I will do that. I mean, that's if, that conditional clause, right? So you need to fulfill, you need to pay your dues. My son Samuel, he's in 2 weeks, he's less than 2 weeks, he's going to try his reading band, you know, again. He was the first chair in the intermediate reading band in the middle, in the Central Jersey area, with his clarinet. So I said, Sam, if you ever get even the top, initially I said top 10, that would be very good. Now I'm trying to encourage him, if you get top 2, that's even better. and now I said to him, if you can unseat that David Zhao, the first chair of the whole state, you can get your heart's wish fulfilled. He's trying to buy an Xbox 360, you know. Give thanks. Sometimes when we come before God, we have to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. That sacrifice of thanksgiving can come in a different way. Could be just monetary offering. Could be your time. You say, okay, if this happens, I'm going to volunteer my time doing this and that. I know the Obamas, right? On the election night victory speech, he disclosed that the two daughters would get their wish to have a puppy dog, right? Yeah. After he wins, you know, that's the condition he wins. Now he wins, so you get a wish. So to give God your thankful heart, we cannot just simply play lip service. I mean, praising God is not purely lip service, it's from your heart. Okay? To bear witness among your peers how God has done in your life, that's not pure lip service. That's to proclaim God's wonderful deeds. But you also need to do something. Do something tangible that to show your appreciation. Now let's go back to the verse and divulge a little more. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's the New International Version translation. But in some other version I read to you, it says, in everything give thanks. In another version, contemporary English version, says, whatever happens, keep thanking God. That's amazing. Whatever happens, keep thanking God. You say, oh well, I just failed my test. You know, to tell you a secret, my son did very poorly in his bio test, first bio test. And I actually was very thankful. I said, that gave him a warning. If you don't study hard, you will do very poorly in your test. And your grade will come down. So I was actually, instead of rebuking him, I was quite happy. I said, that's a good thing to happen. So a bad thing can be a good thing to happen, because then you learn a lesson from it. Whenever my children, they did not get the, you know, as good a score as they wished, I always ask them one question. Have you learned from your mistakes? Because that's the most important thing to learn. If you learn from your mistakes, the next time around you know the right answer, how to solve the problem. That's more important. So in everything give thanks. Whatever happens, keep thanking God. In all circumstances, my friends, all means what? All means all, right? All doesn't mean majority of it. All doesn't mean only the good thing about it. All means everything. Whether it's a big thing or it's a very small, insignificant thing. Things of the mundane. Whether it's a very joyful thing or it's a painful outcome. Whether it's your life is so smooth, you never face any adversities. Or your life is filled with difficulties. Health. Are you in good health? Give thanks. Are you in poor health? What does Paul say? Give thanks. You say, why would I give thanks if I'm in poor health? Let me give you an example. You know, with the current financial crisis and the economic gloom, 2 days ago I read from Star Ledger a couple of stories. One of the stories said one of the virtues is coming back to this country. You know what virtue that is? Thrifty, being frugal, very careful with your spending, control your spending, right? Not spending on things of your wants, but on things of your needs, your basic daily necessity, not things you know you really want as a luxury. So with this kind of financial crisis, people, a college graduate would normally go find a job, right? Now the job market is so poor, what do? They continue on with their graduate school to better equip themselves. So a bad thing, you know, normally a bad thing here, it can turn out to be a good thing. And years later when they come back and view this, they say, oh wow, the education, the graduate school I go to because of the crisis, the job market crisis, helped me a great deal more in my future career. So health, I always show, you know, my son always likes, he's not here fortunately today, he wears, even in winter, in such winter time, he wears short sleeves. I said, son, this is not summer, you need to keep yourself warm. And then my younger daughter one time, she had a cold, and she frequently was found barefooted in the house, running around. I said, Steph, you cannot be barefoot, it's cold. And one time she had a little cold flu. So, you know, in the bedtime prayer, I said, Lord, help us to keep ourselves warm and don't get cold easily. Help us to take care of ourselves, our body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. So even in bad thing, in sickness, you can still give thanks. Right? I just illustrate for you. In the book of... Oh, my time is up so quickly. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 35 on, I read it to you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul was very clear in his life. Nothing in this life, bad or good, can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, I have to wrap up to help you cultivate the spirit of perennial thanksgiving, you can do a few things. First, you ponder more deeply on the mighty deeds of God in history, chiefly history in the creation, history in the redemption. Give you just one example, God's creative power. You may not even realize it. Your body, my body, consists of 10 to 100 trillion cells, which came from one cell, the union, the zygote from the egg and sperm, right? Your father, your mom, and father donated for you. And in that race for life, you won out of all your fellows, you know, they were left behind. You won, you came into existence, and that one cell developed into tens of trillions of cells. And out of that, your hair, you know, 100,000 hair, that's part of it. Your 206 bones in your body, your skeleton, you know, if we should die and devoid of any flesh, if you count it's 206 bones. Remember, your skeleton made of 206 bones. And then in your body, in your flesh, the blood vessels, the arteries, the veins, and the capillaries, they make up as long as 100,000 miles total, end to end. In your young body, probably 75,000 miles. A very tall, heavy guy, probably over 100,000 miles. You know how big is the circumference around the equator of Earth? 25,000 miles, right? So the blood, the total length of our blood vessels add up to 3 to 4 times of the circumference around the equator of Earth. Every day your little heart, which is the size of our fist, if your fist is this big, your heart is about that big. So some people have a bigger fist, they have a bigger heart. And they keep pumping every day, you know how many times they do that? 100,000 times a day. Can you do that 100,000 times a day? Constantly to irrigate the river of your life, 100,000 miles long, every alley, every creek, every river, it irrigates your life. So you don't even think about it. And then in that river of life that long, the T cells, B cells, macrophages, all those defenders, they patrol. They are the marine. They patrol your river of life and constantly defend you against the germs outside and constantly defend you against the insurrection within your body. Cells that become aged and cancerous, they mop it up, they kill it, so you're still healthy. I hope I give you enough examples already to ponder deeper on the deeds of God in creation and redemption. And also enjoy the beauty around. I just show you the beauty within us and around us. I don't have time to bore you with that. And also ponder on the glory and power that's to come, our resurrection and our co-heirship with Christ. To be, I often say to myself and others, we are the prince elect. Obama may be the president elect, that's a big deal, but we are the prince and princess elect for the age to come, for the kingdom to come. So I suggest you, so that's the first thing, ponder deeper and give thanks. Fill your heart with thanksgiving and deeper appreciation. Second, say grace before and after every meal. You say, oh well, it's not tough to do. It takes a few seconds to say, Lord, thank you for this meal. It came from you ultimately. Photosynthesis. And give thanks to God's agents. God placed a lot of agents around our lives, in our midst. Our parents, teachers, friends, counselors, pastors, elders, or strangers even, can be God's agents to help you in time of need. So celebrate your parents' wedding anniversary and their birthday with some sort of fanfare, family fanfare. Fourth, cultivate a habit of praising and proclaiming God. So that means share the gospel with your friends. Invite them to church. Invite them to a praise and worship service, especially this Christmas time. And then lastly, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving in service and charity. Try to do something to help. Every Thanksgiving and holiday Christmas season, I read stories like people, a couple years ago, two brothers in New York City, they made good money in business, and they decided they're going to donate, I forgot, $50,000 that day. You know what they did? They brought duffel bags filled with $100 bills, and they gave every shoppers coming into the mall a $100 bill. Two brothers distributed. How I wish I was there that day. More importantly, how I wish I'm that person who give out money. So sometimes we only do small things. Last time my son had a haircut, I was appreciative of the guy who cut his hair. It was $14. I said, okay, $20, keep the change. That's my way of saying thanks. A little fatter than usual tip, right? Another time I was in China taking a taxi. 10 renminbi, about $1.25 maybe, US dollar. I gave 100 renminbi, 10 times what he deserved. And that was on Christmas Day 3 or 4 years ago. He was in awe. He said, that's all I kept it? I mean, hey, sometimes you need to do things like that just to show your thanksgiving. And then I was preaching the gospel to him all along the ride. So he remembered that day, this one guy, a Christian, who said today is the day birth celebration of Christ's birth. And he gave me 10 times what I deserved. He probably will remember for the rest of his life. Do something that help people. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for the young people here and the old. Help us to cultivate a spirit, a habit, a norm, a spiritual norm of giving thanks all year round in big and small things, in good or bad things, in health or sickness, in joy or in pain. Help us to be not just thankful in lips, but also in deeds. Service and charity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.